The Lord's led us into this precious book of Revelation. And I'm grateful to God that this is a great encouragement to our lives. I'm thankful to the Lord that we're not fearful in studying anything in the Word of God, because we know that He has given this to us. And as we'll read tonight, He has revealed these things. That veil was rent in twain, and we come in there boldly and fully. And we thank God again for what He has given. But this revelation is the unveiling of Jesus Christ. And I'm very thankful that we are in this time, brothers and sisters, because it is. It's exciting. We're seeing these things come to pass. And it's been, I believe, 10 years since we studied Revelation together. And in 10 years, how it's accelerated. How even 10 years ago, I'm getting kind of chills on my arms thinking, you know, it was so evident that the Lord could appear at any moment. How much the more the Lord could appear at any moment today. And we thank God for this. And this is what this is about, is just the encouragement. It's more of the love letters to us. It's I love the romantic heart of our Lord, that yes, there's some very difficult things to read and some hurtful things to perceive, but it's all to His glory. And we're thankful that we're in this age of grace, that it's still extending, that He would have all men to be saved. It's there for everybody. But thanks be to God, and come to the full knowledge of the truth. And that's where we're at this time, is really just going on to see this brilliance and clarity that is given to us in Revelation of the events that are happening right now, that are just prior to the tribulation. We'll study together, if the Lord tarry, obviously many of the events that happen through the tribulation, and then even some things that go on after the tribulation in the millennium. But as we study this, by the grace of God, may it not be the events that we got caught up into. May it not be, in a sense, we're just looking for signs, but we're looking for Him. We want to see Him. That is who is going to see Him first, are those that love His appearing. That's what Paul had said. So we're thankful for this. God knows what we need. And, you know, there's a song about Jesus in disguise, and I understand that. There's a lot of times He's, well, in everything in your life, He's ministering to you if you just pay attention. But I'll tell you what, you begin to look at Him and really see Him, you just see His appearing. And we thank God for that. But before anyone, I want to make sure we really understand this, could really begin to delve into Revelation, before anyone could really have an understanding of all of the types and shadows that are here, we must have Paul's gospel in hand. And for those that might be new or might be visiting in a lot of different things or hearing this on the internet, I don't want you to be discouraged when I say Paul's gospel. There's people I meet almost every day and talk to, and they say, well, what is Paul's gospel? And they're Christians. And I say, well, it's his epistles. And to really understand that message, that hidden mystery that was given to Paul. The thing I don't want you to be dismayed about is, as we study this revelation by God's grace, we're going to be right in Paul's epistle all the way along. And we're going to be all through Colossians and Ephesians and Philippians. And we'll go back to the Old Testament, because there's many things. But what will open up the Word of God, and especially Revelation like nothing else, is Paul's gospel. You need to see the mystery of Christ in the church. We need to see the mystery, as Paul writes in Romans, as he writes in Colossians, as he writes in Ephesians. It was the mystery that was hidden from the sons of men. It was the mystery that was hidden from the prophets. They wrote about these things. They wanted to look into these things. But it says they wrote them for us. I mean, it's just so beautiful and so amazing that the grace of God to have us here at this time. But brothers and sisters, that must be known. And those things are only known through Paul's gospel. Now, the one thing, I should say many things, but one thing I really relish about and rejoice in is Revelation was written after the Apostle Paul's death. So the Apostle Paul was already dead before Revelation was given and written through the hand of the Apostle John. However, Paul had all of its revelation before it was ever given to the Apostle John. Now, you'd say, well, why would I say that? Well, I want you to turn with me over to 2 Corinthians. And in chapter 12, and I think this will begin to spark some that know where we're headed here. In chapter 12, we'll go ahead and read verses 1 through 4 of 2 Corinthians. This is the Apostle Paul speaking here. He says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." So see, he's already telling us he saw some things. "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter." Praise be to God. So we know and see that Paul had been given such vision and revelation. And matter of fact, as we know, because of what the Bible tells us, Paul even had, again, a better revelation than the Apostle John. For Paul's was an inward revelation, and John's was an outward revelation. And let me explain this a little bit more clearly, because this is one of the things that the Lord woke me up in the night to tell me about. See, those who are familiar with Revelation, the Apostle John writes of these things. He writes of these things he sees. And later on in the study of Revelation, the Apostle John bows down unknowingly to the angel or the man that is showing him around. And he bows down and he begins to worship him. And that angel, or as the angel says, "I'm redeemed just like you. See that you do this not. You don't bow down and worship me." And he gets John up. But see, that angel, that wonderful redeemed life that is showing him around, is so Christ-like that John, that one that even put his head on Jesus' breast, couldn't tell the difference. He thought he was walking around with Jesus himself. So see, John saw that. But what we just read about the Apostle Paul writes, and he glories in that man. The Apostle Paul had the vision of that man he had hoped to be, the man in the fullness, the stature, and the measure of Jesus Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. See, Paul, by the grace of God, saw the opportunity to be that man, in a sense, or that angel that was showing John around. Whereas John didn't have any idea, in a sense, the ultimate or the pinnacle of glory of that life. And the reason is because the Apostle John, his place in heaven, as it says, his place is one of the 12 thrones over the 12 tribes. So it's a reigning thing. It's a wonderful thing. But it's not the bridal place. Whereas Paul, oh, that's why he got a glory in that man. Paul got to glory, praise God, in the glory of jointly ruling and reigning together with Jesus Christ. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? And see, this will bring to pass even as we get in this. And I tell you, I feel like that horse, and the Lord's just got to take the reins and pull him back tonight a little bit, because so much was just coming out. But we'll see things in those priests and kings that will begin to come together like I've never seen it before. And I'm thanking God for this. So again, we're just going to wait on him and be patient. But see, Paul's epistles tell us of Revelation. And without Paul's writings, Revelation would never open up to you in its fullness. I want to start here by just giving a few points about Paul's epistles and the things that he had written of that we see and are going to see in Revelation. See, Paul writes of the states of believers. In Revelation, we're going to get into pretty soon about the seven churches, basically the state of all Christianity at this time. But see, the Apostle Paul, he had already talked about that. Whether it was the legality that was going on in the Galatian saints, whether it was the carnal flesh that was going on in the Corinthian saints, whether it was those fully purposed saints, those Philadelphia saints in Ephesus, that were running well, just like the fully purposed horses. And see, so we get that Paul had brought all of these things out. In Corinthians, Paul even speaks of the ranks in the resurrection. He talks about every man in his own order. And we begin to see this in our Revelation study in Revelation chapter 3 and chapter 4. We see different companies in heaven at different times. So Paul was already writing of these ranks. He was already telling of these ranks. In Romans, he brings out that some saints will be heirs of God, and some saints will be joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer together, that we may be glorified together with him. And since we're talking about glorified together, how about in 1 Corinthians? The Apostle Paul brings out that some saints will be a reflection of glory as the moon, and then there will be some saints that will have the actual glory of the sun. Amen? So then we get to Revelation. No wonder we see the bride adorned, descending from heaven, having the glory of God. Do you see that? See, without Paul's gospel, brothers and sisters, we wouldn't ever receive these things. We wouldn't understand it in its fullness and its depth as we start to talk about this. And we're just brushing over some of these things, but this kind of ramps us up as we get excited as we go into this study. Think about Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul writes there of the first trump, those that will meet the Lord in the air. In chapter 5, he also talks about those that are asleep and that will enter in into the tribulation when it could have been avoided. And how was it going to be avoided? Well, in 2 Timothy, he says, to them that love his appearing. Pretty simple, isn't it? Amen. See, that's how you're alive. That's how you're awake. When you're in love, you're always looking for your lover. Amen. You're always wanting them to show up. You're always, as I told you, I used to run to the mailbox every day. My love lived out of town, but I'll tell you what, I wanted to hear her voice in those words. I wanted to read them letters. I went to that mailbox every day. Go to the mailbox every day. Amen? Yeah. It's there. Praise God. See, Paul writes of the tribulation even in Thessalonians 5:3. He tells us when they cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction. Amen. How about 1 Corinthians 15, 22 through 25? Paul speaks of the millennial time when God will hand over complete authority to his son. It's amazing, isn't it? It's all there. Praise be to God. But see, the Lord has even given us more. Amen. Because he's given us all of these scriptures that it just it expands and is so perfect, his love to us. And we could go on and on with this, but I'm going to cease tonight about that part of it. But by grace, I'm going to tell you something. We will go on line upon line. And as my sister would tell me, by the Spirit, yea, even the deep things of God, he even takes you between the lines. So I like that. That's, she said, when you get in there between the lines, that's like, you know, being that prisoner of Jesus Christ. You know, you're all between it and you can't get out. Hallelujah. So that's good stuff. But we'll rejoice and together that this revelation is seen when we follow Paul as he followed Christ. All right. Now let's go ahead and get into our study. And we'll go back here to Revelation 1 and we'll read verse 1. And it says there, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now, John then was given this vision by the Spirit to write. And he was at exile. He was exiled at this time on the island of Patmos. Now, I want us to really understand this. God gives the scriptures, doesn't he? Hallelujah. See, that's what God does. He gives the increase. And God gives his scriptures to his servants. And really understand what this word servant means. It means one who worships and submits to God. That's what a servant is. One who worships and submits to God. See, I pray we never get too wrapped up in ourselves and in our ability when we hear the word servant. I'm sorry, I can see flesh come out of a lot of Christians. Oh, I'm a servant for the Lord. Oh, I've gone and done service here, and I've done service there, and all of these things. Please remember, whenever there is a working of the Lord in us, whenever there is a yielding to God, whenever there is believing, it's all by His grace. Amen. It's all because of the grace of God that is with me. Hallelujah. And so sweetly, brothers and sisters, when we submit to the Lord by believing, by His grace, He encourages us in the Word of God, and especially with the Word of God, it says here, in the things which must shortly come to pass. And I love that. Things which must shortly come to pass. Now, again, John's writing this over 2,000 years ago, and yet Jesus is seeing this as something that is right upon us. Amen? That's what it is. Because it is upon us. It always is. The expectation and anticipation of the coming of the Lord is right now. The encouragement to us by the grace of God is to be awake, alive, looking for His appearing right now. Not tomorrow, not at a more convenient time, but right now. The Word of God tells us not to be slumbering, not to be sleepy, not even to let one eye begin to get a little bit slumbered or entangled with the affairs of this life. I've heard many times people, and I'm talking about Christian people, convince themselves that in some way the Lord isn't coming now. I can see it. He's not coming for a long time. God forbid that we would be like that. Because as the Word of God tells us here, these things which must shortly come to pass. That means things that are upon us right now. The coming of the Lord, praise God, is so present. It's wonderful. And I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, if we really are brethren that are following Paul as he followed Christ, remember this. John hadn't even written this before Paul had died. But in Paul's life, he was always looking for the coming of the Lord. That's why he was trying to go back to Jerusalem. Isn't that something? See, Paul was always expecting Jesus to appear. He was expecting that, praise the Lord, that He was coming at any moment. That was that ravished love that was on the heart of the Apostle Paul to see the Lord. Now, how much more encouragement do we have 2,000 years later? And as we'll get into Revelation, seeing these things so clearly that have come to pass, seeing the nation, 1947, the nation born in a day, when Israel became a nation, seeing these things. I mean, I'll just jump ahead a little bit. You know, you talk about the locusts, that there's, you know, those locusts with the teeth and the fire and all of them. And there's just like all over the place. I used to think that, my goodness, those are just all the jets and things that we have. In the last 10 years, we got drones. And if the Lord tarry another 10 years, who knows what we got then? But it's all set. It's all here. And He could come tonight. Amen. And I thank God for that. I thank the Lord for this encouragement. I thank the Lord that we can get excited about the events that are occurring. But it's the event that is going to occur. And that is Jesus is going to appear. Praise God. So, in this first verse, immediately we are introduced to the angel. Did you read that with me there? And He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John. And so, for the next 22 chapters that John writes, this angel is the one that's taking him through and revealing these things and showing him these things as God brings these things into the vision and what John would see. Now, this angel that it speaks of here is no human angel. Is no non-human angel, and most want to just gloss over this. So I want you to go with me to Revelation 22 so we can just get this right now and understood who this angel is. In Revelation chapter 22, and we'll read verses 8 and 9. And it says there, and I John saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Remember I had mentioned that a little bit earlier, how John started worshiping the one, as we read back here, this angel that begins to show him around, to show him these things. He begins to worship this angel that's showing him around. And the reason John's worshiping him is because he thinks that this angel is Jesus. He's so Christ-like that he thinks that this is Jesus. Then saith he unto me, this is what this angel says unto John, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Amen. Now you think about this. This is a glorified saint. This is one, praise the Lord, that has been revealed in such glory that John believes that this is Jesus. So we're so thankful to God of what we know the grace of God can transform in our life and will give us someday that we will be like him. Amen? Amen. But think of this as well. He says worship God. You think about how there's different religions that we have today, very great religions. They get you to pray to different saints, worship idols, worship saints, all of these different things. This was one that was so Christ-like, the Apostle John was worshiping him. And he said, you worship God. See that? Just little things like that. Listen to the word of God. It just puts things, stops it right there. Worship God. Amen? All right. So we see that this angel, as it says here in where we just read, he said, look, I'm of your brethren. I'm of them which keep the sayings of this book. I am of thy brethren and of the prophets. So this is angel is a brother in the Lord and of the brethren of the prophets. I sincerely believe that this is inferring that this is a brother in the Lord who happens to be from Jewish lineage, possibly of the prophets. I believe most likely this could be Paul himself that is showing him around. Now, we don't know that. And it's not to get in there to say, well, I know that this is who it is or this is who it isn't. But I believe so sweetly that as we read about the sun glory, as we read about that we are changed from glory to glory into his very image, I mean, we're talking about the Apostle John. He was the disciple, if we remember in our study, that the Lord loved. Amen. This is the disciple that Jesus loved. John knew Jesus. John put his head on Jesus' breast. John wouldn't let Jesus out of his sight even when all of the other disciples were kind of turning away a little bit. Now, John, too, again, nobody was there. Jesus went alone. But John went in there when they began to give him the trial and give him the, you know, the over and despising him. But John thought that this brother in the Lord was the Lord. I want you to really receive that. Like him. Like him. Praise God. Amen. See, this isn't something that's a fantasy. This is the word of God and it's real. So, we do not specifically know, but what we do know is that that honor and glory bestowed upon the saints that keep the sayings of this book and worship God, hallelujah, it's going to be like him. It's going to be the heights of glory. And I, by the grace of God, am praying that this will be the likes of us. And how this is encouraging to me, that we would know and be and called into this company that would perform these things with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am grateful to God as he shows this in the life of this brother that is showing John around. Now, let's go on back to verse 2. Revelation 1. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So, see, what John is saying here is he's bearing testimony of all the things that he saw of the word of God. And you have to think of that because that's encouraging to us. It's just like our testimony or our reward. It's going to be based upon what we see. Amen. See, without a vision, the people perish. What do you see? Praise God. And I always remember my dad would give me that expression as he raised us, whether it was in athletics, especially going into business and schooling and all of that. He said, "Well, son, you got to see it to be it. You got to see it. You know, you're not going to get there unless you see that you can be there." And he said, "You can be anything you want." And that's the truth. And I believe that very sincerely. When people are encouraged and people are loved and given that opportunity, you'll get there. I really do. But how much more so in the Word of God? What you see, and most of Christianity today, you know what they see? They see kingdom. That's why they want to do kingdom preaching. That's why they want to live in that. We're going to go out and save the world and all of that. I'm going to tell you, by the grace of God, I see what Paul sees. I see ruling and reigning jointly with Jesus Christ. That's what I see. Because I have those enlightened eyes of understanding by the Holy Ghost, that's where he wants me to be. He put me in this time. He put you in this time to win him. And I thank God that this is the enlightened eyes of understanding. Turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 1. Again, going back to one of Paul's epistles here in Ephesians. Chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. And this is Paul's first prayer that was put on his heart. He says, "That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling." Isn't that something? How many times do we hear in life and we say, "Well, I don't know what my calling is." I want to know what his calling is. Amen? See, we need to settle down in his calling, because his calling is really evident. And his calling is what Paul is praying, that our eyes and our understanding, that the mind of Christ would dwell in us, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in who? In us, in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And that's the Holy Ghost. So we thank God that this can be worked in our lives. It's all there in this provision and power. So this is the enlightened eyes of understanding. And so here's the question. Do we see it, brothers and sisters? Do we see the hope of God's calling for us? Well, if we really do, you'll see Philippians 3:14, and that calling is none other than the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That is the mark for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then, as it said there, and the riches of his glory and the inheritance in the saints. Well, the riches of his glory, that's the height of his glory. And what is that? That's the Lamb. That's the Lamb's wife. Hallelujah. Having the glory of God descending from heaven, all by his grace. Praise his name. This is that vision that the Lord has given us to see, the opportunity that we could look, yea, into the deep things of God. Now, notice here in verse 2, the three things that John states here. He says he was privileged by grace. And see, that's how you're always privileged. And this is how it all works. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, first, he bare record of the word. John knew the scriptures. And he did. John knew the Old Testament scriptures. John knew the word of God, and he preached truth. Secondly, it says he bare testimony of Jesus. Now again, we mentioned earlier, John was the disciple that Jesus loved. And what a testimony that is. And John grew in that love. And you think about John growing in that love. John was given such grace, he was able to write three more epistles. John 1, John 2, John 3. And then given the grace of God to be used to write Revelation. Now that is some love. That is bearing testimony of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. But think of this as well, brothers and sisters, before we get to the third one. What is Jesus in so many ways to us? But he is the author and finisher of our faith. Amen? So he is writing the Word of God in our lives if we'll allow him to do that. Because by the grace of God, it says that we live by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it's impossible to please God without faith. And we know God the Father is only going to take what's going to please him. And the only thing that pleases him is the life of his Son. The only thing that pleases him is the Word of God. The only thing that pleases him, praise the Lord, is faith, believing the Word of God. So here we are, as John, again, is given this opportunity to write these things. I'm thanking the Lord that he's giving us the opportunity to live this, to have this written in our lives. We're this volume, hallelujah, of the Word of God to him, that he is writing this Word of God in us. And I'll tell you, with what the Father has given us in Jesus Christ, by your grace, write it all in me. I want to believe all the Word of God. I don't want to believe just bits and pieces of it. I want to go into the depth of this love, Jesus. I want to understand you. I want to have this relationship that takes me on. And again, that we have this fellowship of this divine love. But then, thirdly, as John, again, as he said, he bare record of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Finally, he bare record of the visions that were given. John was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. John was not ashamed of, yea, the deep things of God. Now, I'm going to give you a testimony. I remember when the Lord really began to reveal the bridal truth to my life. Mentioned that about when I was 17 years old. There's a sweet brother over there that was encouraged to really bring forth the study of Revelation to me for the first time that the Lord had readied me to really receive it. And I thank the Lord. And boy, I'll tell you, when the Lord starts opening your heart and the Holy Ghost starts pumping that bridal truth into your life, you get a little jacked up. You get excited. You're about ready to go, you know, preach to everybody about bridal truth. And I'd get around some Christians, and I'll tell you what, it didn't go over very well. Matter of fact, it went over just like a lead balloon. Boom. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. They didn't want to have anything to do with more than salvation and, you know, encouraging people to be filled with the Holy Ghost and the things of that nature. And where I'm going with this is, then it was almost like, well, I'll just go ahead and fellowship a little bit and I'll hide this real treasure under a bushel. Because it was almost discouraging when I began to tell people about bridal truth. They didn't want to receive it. And then the Lord encouraged my heart, now wait a second. And I remember how he showed me that. And I appreciated, again, the way that God's dealt with me. I'm a pretty simple guy, and he'll give me really simple things. Well, when I courted Polly, and, you know, sometimes in high school you get teased. You say, oh, yeah, you got a girlfriend. Yeah, I got a girlfriend. Yeah, sure. You know. Well, I had a picture. I had a picture. And it was a real picture. So I would show that picture, and I would show that picture. And, you know, and then I'd even be talking to people at a restaurant that I get. And they didn't even know who I was. And I'd show that picture. And I'd show that picture. Because that was somebody, that was my love. And then the Lord began to deal with me about this bridal truth. I'm going to show that picture. Not going to be ashamed of it. And I appreciate about John. And, you know, that's kind of where it happens a lot of times is you get isolated with Jesus. And John was exiled to Patmos. And isn't that how the Lord does that so sweetly in our lives? He'll bring you out to the wilderness. He'll take you out from among the camp if you're really going to really receive the deep things of God. And you have to remember the camp is the family. The camp is of Christians. But he said, come unto me, go unto me, out from among the camp. Let's get into that fellowship. And you think about the ones that did. It was Moses and Joshua. And then as Moses would be in the tabernacle and everything, Joshua wouldn't leave. No wonder that brother got a double portion out there. You see what I'm saying? It's just, there's a calling on our lives. And we're hearing that. You'll hear that truth in the Word of God. And it's a very rare thing, but by the grace of God, if we want it, God is ready to give it to us. But see, John, not only did he hear these things, but he made them known through his life. And again, may that be us. May I, as the word of God says, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. I know nobody can take my salvation. This is talking about bridal truth. And I say it many times. It's the engagement ring. It's my engagement ring. Just like my picture. I've been around ladies that have gotten their new engagement ring. See my ring? See my ring? See my ring? Did you see my bridegroom? Huh? And this is what it is. He's not ashamed of it. And we thank God that John had to be, he did, he had to be banished from all society for God to really show him these things. And sometimes we have to be banished from all of society to say, well, Jesus, I guess it's just you and me. And then after we really take it, then he might bring us back around. And then we're like, well, Lord, I want to go back out to the wilderness with you again. And he said, oh, no, I got a new wilderness for you around all these other ones, huh? So that's how God will do it. All right, let's go to verse 3. We'll just go through a few verses tonight because this is a lot. And by the grace of God, just to really rest on it. And I'm hoping that, again, we go back into the scriptures as you write these verses down, and these studies are on the internet as well, too. Get the word of God out. And there's a wonderful study books. We have Revelation studies on the internet as well, too. And there's the Brother Copley study book as well with it. And it's just precious to go through this because you'll see how divinely the Lord loves you. How divinely, how perfectly, how immensely he loves you. But verse 3, blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So this is glorious, brothers and sisters. In Daniel 12:4 and verse 9, if you know about Daniel, Daniel was given much revelation of the things that would happen in the end times. I was reading through that exciting 10th, 11th chapters of Daniel, and it's beautiful, about the little horn, the Antichrist, and again, the false prophet, and how all the nations will give him authority. And he does it in a very deceitful way. It says he flatters them. See, he takes them by flattery. He's got that silver tongue. And when they start disagreeing, you know, as the little rats holding hands, then they start fighting. And then you get yourself into an Armageddon. And then you got, you know, a fourth of men and a third of men. You're talking about a lot of lives that are going to be lost because there's so much wickedness that's going on. But in Daniel, as the Lord showed him all these things, Daniel wanted to look into it and really know what the Lord was showing him. He wanted to know more. He wanted to see all this. And in the 12th chapter, verses 4 and 9, God says it two times to Daniel. He says, Daniel, seal up what I've said to you until the end time. Isn't that something? Seal it up until the end time. Now, brothers and sisters, as we know, as it tells us in Hebrews 11, we live in a better time. We live in a time of a better thing. We now are shown these things. And as John says here, we're encouraged to read it, to hear it, and to keep it. Now, going back to Revelation 22:9, as opposed to what Daniel was told to seal up these things, in Revelation 22:9, we already read this. Then saith he to me, he says, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of the brethren the prophets, and of them which should keep the sayings of this book, and worship God. So again, we want to keep these things, we want to know these things, and God has revealed this to us. So praise the Lord, we're in the end times. This is it, we're in this time. We're in the time of the coming of the Lord. But to enjoy this blessing, as it says back here in verse 3, we need to read. Really? I have to read the Word of God? Yeah, by the grace of God. That's why we need to pray. Because there isn't a one that naturally wants to read the Word of God. God drew you here tonight. His grace brought you here tonight. But you know what? I'm thankful to the Lord that we love to come to a Bible study. And I've been there, brothers and sisters. And I'm there in battle all the time. Yes, Thank God he's called me to pastor. I'm thankful to bring forth the word of God. But I need to pray always, Lord, give me the desire to study the word of God. I don't want to just go in there to study the word of God, to study the word of God because this is my job. That's not how I want to approach it. And I don't want you to study the word of God because God just told me to study the word of God. Lord, I need to pray by your grace. Give me the desire to go study, to show myself approved. Show that by the grace of God, I love you, Lord, and I want to study this word and to know you, Jesus. I want to know, praise God, my inheritance that you're speaking of. And then it says, beyond reading, we need to hear. And see, that is for yourself. We not just to know something by rote, but you need to hear it that it is yours. And I look at this in many different ways. We need to be taught the word of God. We need a preacher. We need to hear the word of God. That's why he's given us teachers and pastors and evangelists and all these things. We need to hear that. But there's something even beyond that as well, too. You need to hear the Spirit give you the word of God. Amen? That it is yours. That this isn't, again, just a saying. I've met many a people, and I thank God for ones that can quote Scripture and know Scripture. But do you live Scripture? Does that Scripture love you? And is there that fellowship with that Scripture? Knowing what it is and how powerful and effectual it works in them that believe. So here we read, we hear the word of God. He that hath an ear, let him hear. And then finally it says, and keep those things. And that last word, keep, it means to cherish those things. Guard it by giving it the more earnest heed. As the word of God said, given the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I know by the grace of God, there's some in here that have studied Revelation. I'm confident hundreds of times. I thank the Lord that you're here tonight. I'm grateful to God that we can come and rejoice that it never grows old. Praise the Lord, it's always new. And I thank God because there's nothing like the Word of God. It's not just a book. It's the living Word of God. It's alive. It never grows old. It's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we guard this. We give the more earnest heed to it. And it says, don't neglect so great salvation. This word keep, it also means to keep your eye on it. It also means to remain as one unmarried. I love that. To keep is to remain as one unmarried for Him. You're a chaste virgin to Christ as you go follow Paul as he followed Christ, loving Paul's gospel. You're engaged. Hallelujah. We keep the faith. Praise his name. This is what this is about. And it is a good fight of faith. So again, as he ends it here, for the time is at hand. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord, in the very first three verses, he tells us things which must shortly come to pass, and the time is at hand. Now, you could say, and there's ones that'll say, well, that was written 2,000 years ago. Why didn't any come then? Well, the Word of God also says, when you get those little chirpers that say, where is your Jesus? That's when it's time to look up because he's coming. Amen? And it says in the Word of God that as a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as a day. So if you want to just get kind of snippy about it, well, this was 2 days ago. But with God, can I tell you something? There's no time. He's present in all of it. He sees it. It's just like we rejoiced in the last couple Sundays. As God said about the Lamb of God, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. See, that was already done. It was already finished. It was already completed. Yes, Jesus was going to go to that cross. We know that in a sense in the way that we comprehend time. But there was nothing stopping that. There's nothing that's going to stop the Word of God. It's the only thing that's ever going to remain. It's the only thing that's ever going to be. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but the Word of God endures forever. And I thank God. Isn't it wonderful? And we shouldn't even say, in a sense, but that's how we think about it. It's just a matter of time. This thing has these events have not happened yet. But it's just as the Word of God says, all authority, it has been given to him. It's all been given to him, but yet it hasn't been, in a sense, fully shown. He hasn't taken the throne as God. but it has been given. It's all there for him. It's just, again, as we say, and the only way we can comprehend it, it's a matter of time. I would rather say it's just praise the Lord as we abound in that hope. It's not a if, it's just when. Amen? So that's how the Word of God is, not just for the events, but even for the promises of God in your life. Amen? I know we all have come in here with trials tonight, but has He not already made the way of escape? Amen? Has He not already promised us, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose? Amen. Did He not say, I'll perfect that which concerns you? Praise God. So let's abound in that hope that, hallelujah, we call those things which be not as though they were, because it's the promises of God. And that's where we rest, and we thank Him for this. So we know that this is all about to break forth at any moment. As we end here, I love to think about the Jewish brides in the old times, and we talk about this often. It was a tradition that the bridegroom would come and get his fiance or bride-to-be at any moment. And a lot of times it was kind of funny because they would like to come and get their bride like at 2 or 3 in the morning. And that wouldn't really go over well now. But there were girls that were really in love back then that were ready to get married. Maybe it was just to get out of the house. I don't know. That's not the reason to do it. But they would sleep with their clothes on because they wanted to be ready. They had to be ready. The moment that bridegroom came and said, it's time, they would get them. And it's just like the Shulamite in the Song of Solomon at the very, at the first part of the Song of Solomon. You know, she's loving, she's thinking about him and loving his appearing and all of this. And she's laying in her bed, kind of resting, and his hand's at the door. He's there, he's ready to get her. And so she gets up immediately and goes, but then she glances, I can see this at the mirror in a way. Oh, just a second, I got to get ready. Well, that's not what he wanted to hear. I'm here now, I'm ready. And I'm going to be with the ready. And so when she gets to the door, he's gone. So this is that expectation again, that he could come at any moment. There isn't anything more important, brothers and sisters. I know the Lord has given us lots of occupations, in a sense, in our life. We occupy as dads, as brethren. I occupy as a pastor. You occupy in your work or whatever it may be. But don't let that become, as Brother Hill would always say, that's not my vocation. That's not my vocation and my calling. That's what I do and abide till Jesus come. But my calling is moment by moment. I'm listening for that trump. I'm listening for the voice of the archangel. I'm listening and waiting for that, rise up, come away, my love, my fair one. That's the in tune by the grace of God. And this is why he gives us this urgency always of love and devotion and anticipation. And brothers and sisters, think about it. When we're living in that anticipation of the coming of the Lord, isn't it wonderful? When I'm living entangled in the affairs of this life and I'm kind of forgetting a little bit about that Jesus is coming, my life ain't as good. When I start to get entangled in things down here that I think are so important and are just ripping at me and everything and not looking into the Word of God and say, now wait a second, honey, these are the trials of your faith. This is the trying. But it's working that glory that shall be revealed. Now I'm back immediately in the Word of God and thinking, well, he could come today. Hallelujah. That's the life. That, praise God, is that calling that's upon us. The Lord's day, Jesus' day, is about to begin. And I'll tell you, the bride, you know what she says? That's our day. At any moment, it's going to begin when he catches his bride away. And in closing, that is the condition of the heart. That is the state of full joy, of love, of those that will go. It's all about the bridegroom. It's all about him leaping over the hills, running through the field. And brothers and sisters, we can really get off a little bit, even in these studies and things. Is my focus on the journey, or is my focus and my affections set upon him? Is it about him? And I go back often, we talk about Genesis 24, the bride for Isaac, the bride for Isaac, okay? So here comes the master sending out that servant to go find the bride for his son, all right? I think there's 67 verses, if I recall, in that chapter, 67 verses. And 66 and a half verses are all about the proposal, all about marrying my son, all about how wonderful he is, all about how he wants you right now, all about how you got to go right now, all about how what is all is yours. And one half of one verse is about that journey. Amen? So let, by the grace of God, the Lord prioritize what we're going to be studying. It's wonderful to see all that. But it's about Him. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and stand and be dismissed.